I'm Anthony Pastore. Welcome to UBS On Air. For today's podcast, I am excited to welcome Salita Marcelli. As many of you know, Salita has been joining me on podcasts for a few months now with the title of Deputy CIO. I now have the privilege to introduce her today as UBS's new Chief Investment Officer in the Americas. So, Salita, first of all, congratulations on the new role, and thank you so much for taking time to chat with me and with our audience today.
Thank you, Anthony. It's a pleasure.
So, Salita, let's talk about your role here in UBS in the CIO and also about your experience. How has the first few months gone as Deputy CIO? You came in right before all of the volatility kicked in, so I'm sure it's been a really interesting time for you in that role.
Yes. I mean, it's been an amazing experience, right? Since the day I arrived, I have been received with a very warm welcome by everyone, by my own team, advisors, and obviously the management of the firm. And I think it speaks to the culture of this place. And I also started interacting with our clients literally on day one. My first day in the job was not in the office, but at the airport, going to LA, we were hosting our clients for our CIO forum, and interacting with our clients is obviously one of the most rewarding parts of the job. And then we had, you know, because of the time that I think I joined at the end of last year, there were a number of conferences that were taking place, our annual private wealth management conference, our field leadership, where all the advisors across the nation came together. And, you know, it was very important for me to start building the foundation of the relationships with my partners that will hopefully last for many years to come. And that became even more important because soon after we went into a lockdown and, you know, it was harder to have those face-to-face conversations. So from a culture perspective, it's been an amazing entry to the firm over the last number of months. But of course, volatility was a big part of the experience. I would say that it only accelerated my acclimation to the firm and to our clients because we wanted to be much more in front of clients. The market volatility required us to be on top of the messaging, providing guidance, insights every single day, maybe a little bit more, maybe more frequently than during a calm market environment. I think it certainly helped get acclimated to my role much more quickly than it would have been. I feel like after like a couple months, I feel like I've been here already a few years.
Right. I think we've all feel like the last couple of months have been going on for many years. But certainly when you're brand new to a role, to come into a market that just shifted so quickly, it has its challenges. But I'm so happy that your experience has been so positive. What was it like, Salita, working alongside Mike Ryan, who will be now stepping aside from his daily duties as the Chief Investment Officer?
I feel very fortunate to have the opportunity to work with Mike. I mean, he's a class act, as we all know. Not only is he one of the most respected voices in our industry and invaluable resource to UBS and our clients, right? He's also a natural leader, and you know, his unwavering leadership has been obvious to me at every second that I spent alongside with him. I have seen him in action with clients and with our colleagues, but I think what I really took away is that he truly cares about the people that work for him, with him and around him. And it has been a very rewarding experience for me as someone who is coming new into the firm, taking on a new role. At every second that I spent with him, I felt that he has been helping me, setting me up for success. And I feel very honored that he's trusting me with his legacy.
Right.
So it's been a phenomenal experience. And I'm glad he's going to be still staying with the firm and we will continue to work together.
Right. Yeah, me too. And I second that. And I wish Mike so much success in his future endeavors and glad that he'll still be around to work with us. So, Lita, I want to hear more about you now. And I know our listeners want to get to know you. So, first of all, let me start with the basic question. How long have you been working in the financial services industry?
I've been in financial services industry for 20 years. And I have had experience in every asset class. I started in equity research during the dot-com bubble and then burst. I was actually covering technology companies. It was yet a similar experience of diving right in to the hot waters. And then I also covered consumer sector in equity research, which was also a great experience. And then you know, that was the first several years of my career. But then the remainder of the time, all was in wealth management and markets as well, but in fixed income, currency, commodities.
And what was your most recent role before joining UBS?
So I spent close to almost 14 years at JP Morgan Global Wealth Management. And my last role there, the last 7 years I was there, I was running the global fixed income currency commodity business. We had a team of over 100 people, you know, located in 8 different locations around the world. And my responsibility, along with my team, was to provide investment guidance and advice to our wealth management clients from A to Z, meaning looking at the economy, coming up with our hot view for our asset class, but also in conjunction with other asset classes within the context of their overall portfolio and goals, but then also developing, you know, ways to execute those. So I had a number of trading desks that was part of my team that were finding specific investment opportunities for clients.
Right. By the way, I started in the industry around the same time as you did. It sounds like I was right there in the dot-com boom and bust. Very interesting time to start working in finance. Fascinating. Yeah. Right. We learned a lot about what was going on in a short amount of time.
A lot of the learnings do happen in these crisis moments. And it just happens that every time there is a major crisis, like the dot-com bubble bursting and then global financial crisis or the COVID, I'm starting a new role.
We'll have to keep you put for a while.
I hope it's not an indication of anything.
So, Lita, prior to coming to UBS, what were your thoughts on the firm?
So, you can't operate in the wealth management business and not take notice of UBS. There are a couple of things that that was obvious to me. Number one is that UBS has been one of our fiercest competitor in wealth management. I was somewhat aware of the robust and the innovative platform that UBS has built and UBS's ability to play both in the mass affluent segment as well as ultra high net worth family offices servicing institutional-like clients with differentiated products and services. You know, being able to run an independent advisor model side by side with a private bank globally, it has always fascinated me. And I think UBS has been very successful in finding ways to pass on the best practices from one to another. So in addition to being a fierce competitor, I was aware the global nature, global presence of UBS, and not as much as what I have found out since I came here, but when you think of UBS, you really think of global banking. And then the third is, it really has a stellar reputation. It's very highly respected, especially because the case study after the last financial crisis, UBS came out stronger, has gone through a major restructuring of the private banking division with a steady hand. So I just thought that it was a big success story from the outset. And frankly, it's the stellar reputation in wealth management and its commitment to advisors and clients. Those were the key factors that led me to come aboard last year. And I'm glad I made the leap because the reality, frankly, surpassed my expectations.
Right. You know, another unique aspect of UBS is the Chief Investment Office, which you will be helming starting today. Tell us a little bit about your thoughts on the group and, most importantly, its uniqueness within the industry.
It is really unique. And, you know, as I was thinking about joining UBS, obviously I got a good sense of it. But once I joined and started to get to know the global team, it has become a lot more apparent to me. It's truly unique among wealth management firms by its breadth and depth. We have over 200 analysts around the world with presence from Tokyo to New York. And of course, we're able to leverage additional resources that are in the firm from the investment bank and asset management, but it's really wealth management has built its own research function because this is a really core business for UBS. It's a locally active but globally connected team. And the key here is to have one investment. It's really a big feat to be able to have that many independent analysts providing incredible insights and still rally around one house view. It's institutional quality advice for our private clients. So I think that research component is really unique because what I've seen in a lot of wealth management firms, there are CIO functions, but a lot of it is focused on the asset allocation. Of course, we have the asset allocation, which is a big part of CIO, but in addition to asset allocation, the research across many asset classes and geographies is a very important add-on to what we do. And then, because of that research component, the independence of CIO is here a lot more apparent to me than, frankly, anywhere else. I think that brings a lot of credibility to what we do. But we don't just rely on CIO on our intellect, our own resources. There's always a tendency for a group of people to kind of fall into the trap of groupthink. And in order to avoid that, the CIO team in UBS has over many years formulated a research advisory board and an investor forum globally so that we can invite them on a regular basis. It's not just ad hoc, on a regular basis, the greatest minds from our industry, both from our competition, but also from the overall institutional asset management world, investment banks, to challenge our thinking, to filter our thoughts so that before we get to our clients, we cross the T's and dot the I's to make sure our views are challenged and we thought about, we poke holes in them and we end up with the best outcome. And then obviously within the CIO team, I'm talking about the unique parts of it. It's not just focused on the day-to-day gyrations of the market and investing in just equities and fixed income and alternatives today. There is a whole segment within the CIO that is focused on thematic research. We have a whole team around the sustainable investments, which is really an area where UBS has been leading. I have been seeing that even before I joined. And then once I'm here, I can see what a big investments have been made into this area to lead the way. We have the future of series, as you mentioned, on the thematic side, thinking about the bigger picture question, not just for this year, next year, but for the next decade on a regular basis. And then WealthWay, that is a framework that has come out of CIO and is a big part of CIO, I think is very unique as well. It's a smart and innovative way of thinking about, matching your investments to your goals today in your lifetime and beyond. I know that this is done in various ways in the industry, but again, I think it's the CIO here that has been the leader on that front.
Right. And I have to also add, for myself and my team in UBS On Air, I would say the majority of the intellectual capital that we have at our disposal for podcasts and calls and things that we're doing for our clients, for our advisors, come from the Chief Investment Office. It is such a unique aspect within the firm, the industry, and it's really something that sets us apart from our competitors. And speaking of which, Salita, for our competitor side, what do you think the view of the CIO is amongst them?
I think, like I said, it is very well respected. And I think it is perceived as a leader in the industry. And a lot of the things that I just mentioned, you obviously see those things when you are inside, but a lot of them are pretty obvious, I think, from the outside as well.
Right.
I mean, the sheer amount of intellectual capital that we put out to support our advisors and clients, it's nothing like I've seen, and I think is being noticed, especially during a crisis-like situation like we've lived through in March and early April. It was incredibly impressive how we were able to respond hour by hour, day by day, without missing a beat, supporting our advisors.
So what do you hope to bring to your new role as CIO?
Great question. But before I maybe talk about what I bring, I want to spend a second on what I would like to maintain, right? Because there are a lot of great things that has been built into CIO already. Since the day that I've joined, I've been really impressed by the dedication of the CIO team, the collaboration they exhibit on a daily basis, in an unparalleled effort to provide clients with research guidance and insights so that they can make informed decisions. So that dedication, you know, it doesn't just happen by accident. You have to work on it day in, day out. You have to have the right people. So I would like to work on maintaining that. And of course, you know, strong communication is really key to helping advisors and clients through any time, but especially in this tumultuous market. And I think this team has proven that effective wealth management is a combination of insight, advice, support, and calm. We've been doing that since the outset of the crisis, and probably has been doing that even long before I joined. So elevated communication, which is part, you know, it is a strong communication, which is part of the culture of CIO, I would like to work to maintain that. And then in addition to that, what I would like to bring in terms of maybe relatively, not so much newer, but maybe an increased focus on it, right? I would like to weave a more global perspective into our investment dialogue with clients and advisors in America, right? Like I said, UBS is already a global firm. CIO is global. We have all the information, resources, insights under our roof, you know, and I think, you know, it becomes even and more important to make sure we can, you know, weave that into the dialogue on a much more regular basis than in America. Because the portfolios are going to continue to become more global, even though the world might be going to more deglobalization, I think it makes it that much more important that our portfolios are not subject to just one area of the world, that exposure to a global asset classes to be able to, you know, to be diverse enough. And then maybe related to that, I would like to focus a lot more on the macro side of the investment, in addition to what we have. As we have been discussing with our clients and with our advisors, dollar weakness is here to stay with us for quite some time. We're in a new monetary paradigm, and we're having a lot of our clients asking about, okay, so how do I position my portfolio? How can I diversify? Right, so bringing currency into conversation, there are a lot of conversations happening around commodities, especially gold, because again, in this new monetary paradigm, negative real rates are going to be with us for quite some time. So enhancing the dialogue on those macro topics and maybe leading to a more actionable discussion is something that our team is keenly focused on. And then another area is championing a closer partnership with asset management and our global mandate and investment content side of the business, which is essentially our investment solutions platform. So our, you know, thought leadership will be more closely aligned with the way for implementation so that we can enhance our value add for our clients. Of course, we will be doing this respecting the necessary boundaries, right? As a group that provides default leadership, we are independent and will continue to be independent, but we can't be completely divorced from taking that thought leadership and kind of implementing and executing them in your investments. So a closer partnership so that when we are out with a theme or a view on a certain part of the market and our clients can say, okay, great, I love it, let's execute on it, that we have the right solutions right there at that moment in a time efficient. So closer partnership, I think, with asset management and our investment solutions platform, which is in line with the strategic vision of the firm, is a big focus for me. And then the last area for now, I would say, is from the CIO perspective, an enhanced focus on alternative assets, but in particular, private markets. We have been talking about continuously bringing differentiated, you know, solutions and products to our clients, in particular in the ultra high net worth space. And we know that private markets are presenting many opportunities. And I think intellectual capital is also necessary, along with providing the solutions as well. So I think we can enhance our efforts there in America to maybe demystify the opaqueness of the private markets for a broader range of our clients and supporting them in their desire to access that market in an intelligent way.
Great. Salita, so first, let me just say on behalf of myself and everyone that is listening to this, we wish you much success in the role. And I'm really looking forward to getting the opportunity to work with you in the months and years going forward. But before I let you go, I don't really get the opportunity to do this very often on these UBS On Air podcasts, but we're going to have a little fun to get to know you. So a couple of fun questions. First of all, let me ask you, what is something that you like to do on the weekends?
First of all, I'd like to spend time with my family. I have a daughter who's 8 years old, and you know, we spend a lot of time on the weekend together because during the week it's much harder. As a family, we love movies. I'm a movie lover, so I make sure we kind of get through a few, or at least one of the, you know, through the weekend. And I love biking, so I have a very nice bike that I purchased a couple of years ago, and I like to take bike rides along the Hudson River all the way to the George Washington Bridge in New York. Unfortunately, a month ago, I fell off and broke my arm, but I can't wait to get back on the bike during the rest of the summer.
Oh, no. I'm sorry to hear that. I didn't realize, since I haven't seen you in the office since the last 3 months, I didn't realize you had broken your arm. So hopefully that heals fast so you can get back on the bike during the nice summer weather. Okay, so this is a question that I've been asking friends and colleagues offline, but now that we're on the air, where's the first place that you plan to possibly vacation after COVID?
I can't wait to go to Istanbul, Turkey. Mm. It's the city where I grew up, and my parents are still there. So, and I have a lot of friends. Even though I've been in the U.S. Most of my life, a lot of my friends from growing up are still there, so I can't wait to go back to Istanbul.
That sounds great.
When the flight starts.
Right, right. Well, that's fantastic. I hope it starts soon so you can get over there and see your family and friends. That would be nice. Two more questions. What's your favorite book that you've read?
I have a few, but I just am going to pick one for your question. It's a book by Viktor Frankl. It's called The Man's Search for Meaning. It's actually been written in 1946, very soon after the author, Viktor Frankl, got out of concentration camp. But I think a lot of the learnings from that book is still valid today. It's a very short book, but it's incredibly intense and powerful. It's one of those where you probably read and read, at, you know, many times throughout your life at every different inflection point. So, you know, that's the first one that comes to my mind.
Wow. I have to put that on the list. Thank you, Salita. And last question, the best piece of advice that you've received from a mentor?
So I think this is both the best and probably the most frequent advice that I've received. It means I probably should listen. that's not a sprint, but it is a marathon. And I think now that I have more years of wisdom under my belt, I think I'm applying it a lot more than I probably did a decade or two ago.
Right.
Well, not a sprint, it's a marathon.
That's great. Well, that's a great piece of advice, and I think something that many of us should listen to. So, Lita, thank you so much. This has been a lot of fun, and for taking part in this conversation. And good luck in the new role. Really excited to have you on board, and looking forward to, again, as I said, working with you over the coming months and years.
Thank you, Anthony. It's been wonderful speaking with you, and looking forward to many more podcasts together.
Thank you, Salita. And from New York City, I'm Anthony Pastore. Thank you so much for joining us, everyone. We will speak with you soon.
UBS Wealthway is an approach incorporating liquidity, longevity, legacy strategies that UBS Financial Services, Inc. and our financial advisors can use to assist clients in exploring and pursuing their wealth management needs and goals over different timeframes. This approach is not a promise or guarantee that wealth or any financial results can or will be achieved. All investments involve the risk of loss, including the risk of loss of the entire investment. Timeframes may vary. Strategies are subject to individual client goals, objectives, and suitability.
UBS Chief Investment Office's investment views are prepared and published by the Global Wealth Management Business of UBS AG or its affiliate, UBS. This material has no regard to the specific investment objectives, financial situation, or particular needs of any specific recipient and is published for informational purposes only. As a firm providing wealth management services to clients globally, UBS AG and its subsidiaries offer both investment advisory services and brokerage services. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. In the USA, UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS AG and a member of FINRA SIPC. For information, please visit our website at ubs.com/working with us. For a full legal disclaimer applicable to the independent investment views produced by UBS, please visit our website at ubs.com/CIO-disclaimer.